This is Digital Story Podcast number 520, February 23rd, 2016. Today's theme is The Reluctant Portrait Photographer. I'm Derek Story. As the world sees it, every photographer is a portrait photographer. You can tell people that you only shoot landscapes or pets, and they will nod their heads, and then they'll ask you to shoot their daughter's wedding. That's just the way it is. So in that spirit, I'm dedicating today's show to all of those reluctant portrait photographers out there. I will not only help you survive, but thrive the next time you're pressed into duty to photograph a friend, family member, or coworker. The Reluctant Portrait Photographer. So, you know, in my opinion, portrait photography is really about comfort, both for you and the subject. So the way that you get comfortable is to have a very clear idea about what you're doing. And then when you're comfortable and the person that you're taking pictures of starts to feel confident that you know what you're doing, then they get comfortable. Now, there are some subtleties to this and some details, and we'll cover that in this segment. But that's the gist of it. And, you know, it reminds me of public speaking in some ways. When I was in eighth grade, I was a terrible public speaker. I mean, it's really unbelievable to me now thinking back at it. But I was so nervous that I needed a podium to stand behind, you know, to get up in front of my class, to keep my hands from shaking. I literally couldn't hold my notes in my hand while I spoke because my hand was shaking so much. My voice would quiver. I was very uncomfortable, and I'm sure I was very painful to listen to. And I tell people this story, and they go, how could that be? Speak in front of people all the time, and you seem so comfortable. And a change happened somewhere. And actually, this change didn't happen until college, until my college career. Because when I started out in college, I was still terrible up in front of the class. And then one time, I remember, I had the opportunity, I use the word opportunity, you know, that way, to speak on something that I really was passionate about. I was really excited about it. You know, because a lot of times you're handed something that you're not that excited about on these sort of assignments. So I was very excited about this subject. It was music, actually. And I prepared, and I was really ready to go. And I knew everything that I wanted to talk about, and I was excited about it. And I actually couldn't wait to get up in front of everyone to share this information. And I did so, and it was so easy. It was so easy. I was natural. I was gesturing. I was, you know, stepping away from the podium. My voice had inflections in it. I mean, it was really pretty good. And I got an A on that assignment. It was in a communications class in college. I started out as a communications major, ended up as an English major. A light bulb went on there, and that light bulb had to do with performance, public speaking particularly, but performance in general, and that the more I was prepared, the more I knew about the subject, and hopefully the more I cared about the subject, the easier it was to speak in front of people. And ever since then, I've made it my quest to only write about, speak about, and just in general work on things that I was excited about, cared about, and felt that were important. There's been some rough times following that path, but I'll tell you one thing about it is that you're very authentic. You're very authentic because you're caring about what you're saying. Okay, so what does this all have to do with portrait photography? Well, it actually has a lot to do with it. Because for a lot of people, portrait photography is a performance they don't want to give. They don't want to be engaged in it. They don't want to stand in front of another person and expose themselves as an artist, as a technician, to that person. What they want to do is go take a picture of a tree or a cat or a product or something else, something where that thing isn't really looking back at them thinking, do you know what you're doing? And I think that is something about portrait photography that makes some photographers uncomfortable. So I equate this to public speaking. And I think the way that you improve as a portrait photographer is very similar to how I improved as a public speaker. So first of all, prepare. Really know what you're going to do inside and out. Get comfortable with it. Get excited about it. I mean, you're a photographer already. Just because you shoot rocks doesn't mean you can't shoot people, right? So you know you have the skill set. You just have to make some adjustments. I have some tips for you. I mean, that's the general approach, okay? Now, I have some tips for you to help you reach that goal, to help you become confident, to help you really feel like you know what you're doing when it comes time to engage with that other person, because you have to do that, right? You can't pretend they're not there while you take their picture. It doesn't work. You have to engage with them. So here's how to be ready to engage, to be confident, and then make that portrait session go really well. All right, first thing, keep it simple. I just cannot stress this enough. Keep it simple. This is not the time to geek out, okay? You know, this is not the time to geek out at all. So I recommend outdoor shots, all right? Do them in the morning or the late afternoon when you have favorable light. You have backgrounds to choose from. It's just easier this way. And plus, it's less threatening for everyone. When you have this big outdoor space, you know, that's much more comfortable for two people that maybe are a little uncomfortable in the beginning than being, you know, confined in a room. All right. So keep it simple. Do an outdoor shoot. That's tip number one. Next, select your location ahead of time and scout it out. Have a clear idea of the specific spots that have favorable light for the time of day that you're going to be there. See those spots. Know them. Look for restrooms and other facilities that might come in handy. Know where to park. Know if there's any fees. Know if you need a permit. This is really like practicing law, which is you don't want any surprises. The minute you have a big surprise, there's a possibility of you getting thrown off track, okay? So that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be surprises. There are always surprises, right? But you want to have as few of them as possible and have them be as mild as possible. And you certainly don't want to be surprised by something so obvious as that there's no parking in the spot that you want to shoot, okay? So scout ahead of time and make a little checklist of all these things. Parking, permits, fees, restrooms, all that kind of stuff. Have a little checklist, walk through it, and then you can have a picture of this location and the possibilities of the shoot in your head. That helps so much. I cannot tell you how much, you know, it's a visualization thing. And guess what? We're photographers. This should work. Next, line up an assistant. It can be a friend of yours. It can be a friend of the subject's. It doesn't really make any difference. We're not looking for a photographer here. What you want is an extra set of hands and an extra set of eyes. Now, the hands are to hold reflectors, okay? You need those hands to do that kind of lighting. We're going to talk about lighting more in a second. And the eyes are to spot wardrobe malfunctions, stray hairs, and basically other embarrassing things, okay? I mean, the classic thing for me, right, is the locket. They're wearing a locket, and it's slightly askew for 30 frames. Oh, God. And you love those 30 frames. They're your favorite part of the shoot, and this locket's skew for all 30 frames. That's the kind of stuff that you want to have a second set of eyes for, and tell them what you want them to do. Tell them that, you know, I need you to hold the reflector. I need you to keep an eye on the subject. I need you to watch your stray hairs and all that kind of stuff. Invaluable, because what happens is you're going to become immersed in, you know, managing your camera, getting the right settings, hopefully being artistic. and you have to engage with the person, which we're going to talk about in a second. You got a lot on your plate, so you can't cover every detail by yourself. I'm not saying that I don't do shoots by myself. I do, but I tell you, I feel like I do better when I have someone else there. Next, use fill light. I got another story for you. Oh, God, this is really embarrassing. But I was shooting for a publication, and it was a shot that was going to go in a magazine. And it was, oh, I don't know, this guy coming off a plane. I forget what it was about. And he's a little bit in shadow, and I shot it from a little bit of distance. The art director wanted his face to be lightened up a bit. She wanted the printer to do it. I shot it as a slide. And the printer is going, oh my God, you know. So they come in for this meeting and stuff. And, you know, we're talking about, well, you should be able to do this. And this proof is, you know, he's too dark. And the printer looks at me. I'm there. He knows I took the shot. He goes, have you heard of fill light? Because he's saying, you know, in his mind, he's saying, you know, if you had just used a fill light, I would not have to be here right now having this idiotic conversation, right? The shot would be correct. Oh, God. And you know what? He was right. He was so right. Yes. Have you heard of fill light? Use it. Use it on these shots. I mean, natural shots are great. Oh, don't get me wrong. I love it all. But when it comes down to really doing a flattering rendition of a person, fill light really comes in handy. I prefer reflectors, and that's why I think assistant's nice. I just love the quality of light from reflectors. These collapsible reflectors you can get, you know, for practically nothing these days. I like that. But sometimes you'll be in a situation like maybe you want to shoot under a tree in the shade because you've got a really nice background and you still need to bring some light in, and reflector probably not going to work as well in that scenario. So you need to bring a fill light in with a flash. I like a little radio controlled flash, you know, these Cowboy Studio or whatever flash triggers, because I like to have the light close to the person. Remember, the closer the light to the person and the larger the source, the softer the light, the more flattering it is. So then I can use a telephoto lens to maybe soften the background if I want. Whereas if I have to have the light on the camera, then the light's too far away, it's kind of harsh, you know, all these things happen. You have to be ready for all this. If your first plan is reflector, which mine always is, be ready for that. And then have your flash rig ready to go. Practice with it, check the batteries. So if you have to go to that, you're not fumbling around, okay? Use fill light. You don't have to use it for every shot. Trust me, use it for some shots. Keep the conversation going. Do not clam up on this person. Nobody standing on the business side of a camera likes the silent treatment. Believe me, it's lonely out there. It is. It's, and if, you know, if you had the role reversed, which, you know, we probably all have at one time or another, you know how lonely it is out there. So just imagine, here you are, you know, this guy's doing a shoot of you. You're not really sure you know about him. And he's working his camera and he's just kind of looking at the LCD and he's not saying a word. And you're just standing there. You're just standing there and he's just kind of, he's kind of scowling at his camera and stuff. And he takes some more pictures. That is not fun. That is horrible. That is absolutely horrible. So keep talking. Keep talking to them, okay? Let them know, hey, this is going well. This is nice. Oh, I like, that's a nice smile you have. I like the partial smile. Just stuff like that. Just keep the conversation going. Do not clam up on these poor people that are stuck in front of your camera. Now, along those lines, as soon as you have a good picture on your LCD, show it to them. This is so important because the minute they see a flattering rendition of themselves on the back of your camera, they are going to relax. And almost every time I do that, the shoot does a 90-degree turn in the most positive direction possible. So as soon as you can, show them a picture on the back of the LCD. This is why I think it's good to know how to work your camera, how to get good white balance, nice exposure, all that kind of stuff. Because if you have a nice looking shot on the back of the LCD and you show it to the subject, they are going to be ready to go. They are going to be so happy. Everyone's going to relax. And remember what I said about comfortable? The minute everyone's comfortable, That's when the shoot really can take off, okay? Next one, don't be creepy. Seriously, don't be creepy. I mean, I know you don't intend to be creepy, but don't do it. What am I talking about? All right, compliments are great, but you have to know where the line is on compliments. So your praise should be confined to pretty eyes, shining hair, and attractive wardrobe. That's it. Bubbly personality, maybe. Do not head south of the neck for any of your comments, right? Look them in the eye, say, oh, your eyes look really great. Oh, you have a pretty smile. That'll work, okay? Your hair looks great today. Very good for a portrait shoot. I love the outfits that you brought. Very nice. Those are great shoes. These are all compliments that make a person feel good and aren't creeped out by you, okay? Do not get into anything else. I'm not even going to say anything else here about it. You know what I mean. Just think about what you say, okay? I know I'm telling you to keep the pitter-patter going, but keep it going in the right direction, all righty? Work quickly. If you're constantly fiddling around with your camera and your equipment, you're really going to, well, this is be honest about it. The other person's going to think you're incompetent. They're going to think you don't know what you're doing. And if they don't have trust that you know what you're doing, they're not going to give you their best, and the whole thing starts going the wrong direction. This is like my public speaking thing. Also, in that, if you're fooling around with your equipment and you can't get something to work, then you're not going to be as confident either. And then your energy is going to change. Know your stuff inside and out. Practice the things that you want to do on the shoot ahead of time. Know how to set your settings, alrighty? Finally, last one on this. Just be professional. Now, you know what that means. Do it, okay? And I think what being professional means is that whatever you say you're going to do, you do it. If you say you're going to deliver pictures in a certain amount of time, do it. If you say you're going to be at the shoot at a specific time, be there. Right? If you say that's going to last an hour or a half an hour or 15 minutes, have it last that length of time. Be professional. Be professional in how you conduct yourself, how you talk, how you act. Be professional. And I know, you know, you're probably not a professional photographer. That doesn't mean you shouldn't act like a professional. Acting like a professional, behaving like a professional gives confidence to people. Acting like a professional makes people feel comfortable. They feel like they're working with someone that they can trust. So do it, be professional. So, you know, these aren't, you know, a lot of f-stops and shutter speeds and stuff for a successful portrait shoot. You know how to do that part already, okay? Do this, and then when you do get pressed in the service, and believe me, you will, all of us do at one time or another, do these things, listen to this podcast again, review the show notes. I put these all in the show notes, so you can just read the show notes. And then you will be successful. You'll have a great time. And even if you go, you know what, I don't want to do another shoot for a month, another portrait shoot for a month, that's fine. But you will have been successful at the one you just did. Okay, in the news, Tamron releases stabilized 85mm f1.8 and 90mm f2.8 macro full-frame lenses. This is from DP Review. Just saw this one today. Third-party lens maker Tamron has released a pair of new full-frame stabilized primes. First is the 85mm f1.8. It has LD and XLD elements to reduce flare and ghosting, 9 circular aperture blades for an attractive bokeh. They put attractive in quote marks. I don't know why they did that. Coating to keep the moisture and fingerprints off the front elements, and 3.5 stops of shake reduction. It uses a ring-type ultrasonic motor that Tamron says will be precise and responsive. I hope so. Pricing and availability have not been announced on this particular lens, but on the next one, the 90mm f2.8 macro, 1:1 magnification, which is an updated version of the lens of the same name from 2012. It too has LD and XLD lenses, 9 blade aperture, coding, USM motor. It can take life-size close-ups at a minimum distance of 5.5 inches. That's pretty nice. The 90mm macro will begin shipping in March for $649. By the way, I had a Tamron 90mm way back in the film days. Actually, for my OM-D4. Yeah. No, my OM-4. It wasn't an OM-D, right? No D. No D, just an OM. For my OM-4, I had a 90mm F2.8 Tamron macro. That was a great lens. They know how to do those 90mm. Anyway, both lenses are weather sealed and support Tamron's new tap-in console. They'll be available for Canon, Nikon, and eventually Sony Alpha mounts. The Sony mount, because Sony has built-in stabilization, the Sony version won't have the optical stabilization, but the Canon and Nikons will. Pretty cool lenses here. They tie in nicely with our little talk about portrait photography. Both of them can be used for portraits, and then of course the 90mm is also a macro lens. Great news from the Tamron camp. All right, I have a quick tip for you here. And we talk about this all the time in the workshops. You know, I know a bunch of you know this tip, but it's a good reminder because we forget stuff too. So the tip is foam can coolers, you know, like for your soft drink. They make excellent lens cases. So if you like to travel light, you know, like just with a shoulder bag, let's say the Nimble shoulder bag or whatever, you want to carry a few extra lenses, these can coolers that you can get anywhere, I have some that have some remarkable sayings on them that were given to me. They're really good for protecting your lenses. You just drop your lens in there. They're about the right size. And then you can put the lens in a shoulder bag or really any sort of bag. They're protected. They're easy to get in and out. The can coolers that I like are the ones that fold when you're not using them. They tend to be a little bit thinner. The closed cell foam tends to be a little bit thinner. And they fold. So when you're not using them, you just stick them in the bottom of your bag and you don't have to worry about it at all. If you have forgotten about how wonderful these things are and how affordable they are, dig around in the kitchen, find yourself a few, or go down to the local drugstore and get them cheap there. But they're really nice for bringing along a couple extra lenses, especially if you don't want to carry a camera bag. You just want to use, you know, any old kind of bag for what you're up to. Member quotes of the week. Intelligent comments culled from the Digital Story Facebook page. In regard to last week's Facebook post, Become the Master of Your Capture One Library, we had some terrific comments, and I want to share one in particular with you right now. Michael wrote, I feel really fortunate that I can follow along as you make the transition from Aperture to Capture One. I'm hoping this is the last transition I have to make. To that end, do you know what percentage of business Capture One represents for Phase One? Phase One is the company that owns them. I feel that if it's significant, that they are less likely to abandon it, as was the case for Apple with Aperture. Well, that's a very good question. And I know a lot of us are still smarting right now. And I know the rest of you are probably tired of hearing about it. You're probably saying, get over it. Okay, well, it's hard when you have to make a change and you don't want to. It's always easier for the person breaking up, not the person that gets broken up with, right? Anyway, to your point, to your question, I really feel confident that Capture One is going to be around for the foreseeable future. There's a number of reasons for this. A big part of it is that at no time that I was working with Apple did I ever feel as confident about their dedication to Aperture as I do with Phase One's dedication to Capture One Pro. They feel like the software is an essential part of their overall business, which includes cameras and camera backs. And, you know, this is what they do. They don't make smartphones, they don't make tablets, they don't make computers. They make cameras, and they want software to connect those cameras to computers, and they want that software to be as widespread as possible. So I really feel like that Capture One Pro will be here for a while. I really do. And believe me, it's something that I thought about when I was, you know, doing my extensive. I mean, I spent how long? What? Almost a year, you know, trying to get to the bottom of what I was going to do. And that was part of it. And I feel good about it. And I tell you, I work with them, the Capture One Pro folks. I like them. They are into it. And photography is their thing, not other devices. Photography. If you need to make a change for whatever reason, then I feel confident that this is a good change. Now, hey, on that note, this is slightly tangential, but so I got the testing report back from my Capture One Pro title today. Linda, folks. So we went through it, and I only have to record two more movies to sort of clarify, you know, a couple things that the testers were in question about. And then I have to make, I don't know, a few little pickups here and there. And then it's done. It's done. So we've made it through my recording. We've made it through editing. And the hardest part, well, recording's kind of hard too, but the part that I cross my fingers on, we've made it through testing. I have to have everything turned in to them by Thursday this week. And then it's going to move pretty fast. So we're very close to having this, you know, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you about it. And they were happy with it. I mean, I'm getting a good thumbs up from some very critical people on this. So pretty soon, very soon, we'll be talking about. All right. So post your thoughts about anything. Capture One, Photos for OS 10, cameras. You know, anything that we're talking about on there, post them on our Facebook page, and believe me, I read them. A report on the Olympus 300mm f4.0 telephoto. Well, I had to send it back. Oh, yeah, I had to box it up, say goodbye. I only had it for a week. That's because this thing is in demand and there's not that many of them around right now. It's a $2,500 lens. It is a pro lens through and through, believe me. As pro as any lens I've ever shot with. In terms of quality, in terms of image quality, in terms of construction. Two sets of stabilizers, right? You have the stabilizer that's in your camera. I was using the EM5 Mark II with the firmware update. The firmware update's very important. Because what they did with the latest firmware update is that they made it work with this lens, essentially. There are some other things they did too, but they made it work with this lens because this lens has its own stabilizer in it. So if you have the firmware update and you have the EM5 Mark II or the EM1 with the firmware update, then the optical stabilization in the lens works in concert with the sensor-based stabilization in the camera, and you get, check this out, 6 stops of stabilization. And that's not an exaggeration. I was shooting portraits. You know, it's a 300mm lens on a Micro Four Thirds camera. So as I'm looking through the lens, it's felt like a magnification of 600mm, right? Because of the sensor size. You know, and I was hand-holding this thing. It's not that big, but the magnification, you know, just any little movement and, you know, so I was getting some what I call composition drift during the portraits. And I'd have it lined up, and then as I was shooting, you know, you just move the lens a little bit, and, you know, the composition's a little off. So I was always shooting in burst mode to help with the compositional shift. And then I was shooting as low as 1/60th of a second handheld. Well, you know that you can't shoot a 600mm lens at 1/60th of a second. You should be right around 1/500th. So, you know, being able to shoot that low and then wide open and have the image quality just look spot on. I mean, that really blew me away. The focusing's really fast. It's a pretty lens. And, you know, there's some nice touches. Like, it has the tripod collar on there, but you can take it off. And because, quite honestly, because of the image stabilization, you can have this be a handheld lens. So what they did was, if you take the tripod collar off, they have a little decorative sleeve that ships with the lens that you slide on that makes the lens that covers, you know, the area where the tripod collar fits. And it makes it look really nice. Really, I mean, it's a super finishing touch. I love things like that. I mean, that, I've never seen that before, and I just think that's terrific. So if you have the tripod collar on, it looks good. Use it on a tripod and your camera's balanced and everything. But if you decide you want to take it off, you got this decorative sleeve that also makes it look good, and it takes up less space in your camera bag. So it wasn't hard to carry around. It fit in all my camera bags. It's not ginormous at all. It is light for its magnification, but is definitely heavier than all of my other Micro Four Thirds lens. I felt a little bit like I was carrying around a DSLR lens. But I'll tell you, if you shoot sports, wildlife, nature, and then portraits, this lens is amazing. And for $2,500, in all honesty, I think that is a great value. That is a really good value, because this is, I mean, $2,500 is what I, you know, paid for my 70-200 f/2.8 on the Canon side. How much would you pay for a 600mm f/4 if it were Nikon or a Canon lens? It's not a lens that I would shoot with a whole lot. It would be for special occasions because, you know, I'm more of a nimble photographer. But I'll tell you, when I have the situation come up where I need it, I'm going to rent it or see if I can, you know, get Olympus to let me borrow one, because I love this lens. And, you know, like next time I go to Safari West, I want to have that in my camera bag. Just a few updates here. We're running a little bit long today. Not too bad. The Point Reyes Photography Workshop coming up on August 19th through 21st. We have two rooms open. And if you want to hang out with us at the Strauss Ranch House and explore some of the most beautiful country that God ever made, this workshop is going to be a phenomenal experience. We've got a great crew signed up already. We've got a great environment. Hanging out with a bunch of photographers in an old ranch house, yet that has Wi-Fi and everything. I mean, this is going to be neat stuff. Just go to the workshops page on the Digital Story. Use the Send Me Info. I'll get you a registration form right away. Okay? And then out of Chicago, coming up on June 24th, 23rd actually. We added a workshop for the 23rd. The one on the 24th is already sold out. And then there's the Out of Chicago conference itself. If you are in the Midwest and you want to come hang out with a bunch of great photographers and touch base with me, Out of Chicago is definitely going to be the place to be during June. And again, you can go to the Out of Chicago website. I have links to everything that I've talked about in the show notes for today. And finally, I want to mention our great supporters over at Red River Paper. I am going to do, I'll tell you, the next thing that I'm going to do, printing-wise, is, you know I'm working on the film project, right? And I reference it here and there. Well, now I'm starting to get a pretty nice catalog of film shots. And so far, you know, I haven't done anything with them yet, because right now I'm more focused on the capture side of things. But the next phase, once I get this book finished, you know, I'm just about done with the Photos for OS 10 book. Once I get that done, and then I have a couple other big projects I have to do, then I'm going to start printing some of these images, some of these film images, on Red River paper. And this is going to be interesting twist. And at some point, I'm going to talk about, you know, my whole analog workflow. But essentially, what I'm going to do is take the film negatives, digitize them, true to their nature, and then print them with my inkjet printer on fiber-based paper, which Red River has, and see how that looks. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be fantastic. Sort of combines the analog world with the digital world in a very cool way. Red River paper is right at the heart of this output for me. I could not do this if they did not have these fiber-based papers that they have that are so wonderful. So anyway, more about that up the road, but it's just great to be working with a company that can help me realize my vision, whether I'm in digital work or analog work. making fine art cards, no matter what I'm doing, they seem to have what I need. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Go over there. We have our own landing page. Check them out. Read the tutorials. Look at all the kind of papers they have. Make some art. Make some art. You'll be glad you did. All right. That's going to do it for me this week. As you can tell, I'm really excited about, you know, all this stuff. And I'm working on some great stories for upcoming weeks. So make sure you come back and hang out next week. Thanks so much for joining me. See you online. Go over to the Facebook page. Post a comment, for Pete's sake. Come on. Get involved. This is Camera Club. See you next time. Bye-bye now.